This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think...
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
And good morning once again, race fans. Hour number two of this special season finale of WGR's Fast Track, live from Watkins Glen International. I'm Dave Buchanan here on WGR Sports Radio 550 here at a now very wet Watkins Glen International. The Indy Lights cars are on the racetrack and the rooster tails are plenty out there as they're running their race here at the moment. I guess the good thing about the rain is I'm getting a behind-the-scenes tour of all these awesome racing haulers. We were in the Chip Ganassi hauler talking to Charlie Kimball. We were in the Dale Coyne hauler talking to Sebastian Bourdais, and now we're in the palatial Firestone Racing Hauler with Chief Engineer Kara Adams. Kara, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo and WGR. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us, and I'm glad to keep you out of the rain for at least a little bit.
Days like today must make it very challenging for your crew here at Firestone. I saw the wet weather tires. They were being mounted furiously over there this morning.
Yeah, each team gets five sets per weekend, and almost all the teams pretty much used up one set during morning practice, so everybody will have four sets for the race. So it'll be really interesting. All of our mounting and balancing is done right here at the racetrack. So teams bring us their wheels and we put our Firestone Firehawk tires on them.
Now, is that, I know the joke is, to make a comparison to NASCAR, they do run rain tires for some of their road course events, but they just kind of leave theirs, you know, gathering dust in a trailer somewhere. You guys use them a little bit more, but is that just something, regardless of the forecast, you come to the track loaded with enough sets of rain tires just in case?
Yeah, always. Well, any road or street course, we have rain tires. We have five sets per race weekend of almost all the races. Some place that might be a doubleheader, like Detroit, they might have extra sets, but here we have five sets per weekend, whether it rains or not. Even to Sonoma, we're going to go to Sonoma in a couple weeks, and we'll still have them for there.
So what is this morning you got up, got here to the track, take a look at everything. Was it as soon as they got here they started mounting them, or was there a point reached like, all right, we're going to definitely need them today?
So teams typically have a couple of sets of rain tires mounted anyway, just in case. So I think as soon as teams started looking at the weather last night, they already had indications that they were going to put rain tires on. I think some of the effects of Harvey is what we're seeing now.
And Kara, first off, how did you get to be work with the folks from Firestone? Chief Engineer, I'm sure that's a big role here on race day, but how did you land here with Firestone?
So I had an interest in engineering early on, and I got started with the Formula SAE team in college. So that's a team where you design and build an open-wheeled car. I was looking for a great company, somebody had a great history and reputation. You know, you find Firestone, who's been in racing since 1911, the very first Indy 500, the Marmon Wasp drove to victory on Firestone tires, so you can't get a better reputation than that.
Yeah, I see that in all the commercials. They've all the Indy 500 winners always running on Firestone tires, and having a great relationship with the sanctioning body is huge, and you guys have a great partnership with IndyCar.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been testing out here. As soon as it was announced that we were coming back, everybody's excited because Watkins Glen is such an iconic, historic racetrack, so Firestone's very glad to be here at the track.
You mentioned last year, and of course, with the series coming back here, how much of a challenge was it on kind of short notice? You know, after the Boston race was canceled, this was added. You had a test session, but was there a lot of scrambling going on to come up with the right compound when you guys came back last year?
Yeah, it was a bit of a learning curve. Something like Watkins Glen is not typical to some of the racetracks that we have been running in IndyCar, or places like Mid-Ohio, Barber, you don't have some of the speeds, some of the sustained lateral loading. So we came with a tire last year that was pretty good for our first event, and we have a tire this year that's even more well-tuned for this particular racetrack.
How much, after you took a look at all the data from last year's race, how big of a change was it when you were designing this year's tire?
So this year's tire actually has a relatively small construction change in the rear. Our primary compound was a really good choice last year, and we came back with that same primary compound, and we updated our alternate compound as well.
And then how does a road course tire kind of differ from maybe, say, the tires you had last week in a Gateway on an oval?
They're similar families, so some of the same compound families. We use some of the same materials and ingredients in the tires and some of the same fabrics. But when it comes down to it, there's quite a bit difference in construction. So if you have an oval, you think you're always turning left. You've got a lot of weight transfer that happens to the outside. So you have a lot of high loads, and we talked about some pretty high sustained loads here at Watkins Glen, 3.5 Gs for a long period of time. So in some ways, this is the most similar racetrack to an oval we have, but the tires are actually pretty different between an oval and a road course.
Kara Adams, Chief Engineer for Firestone, joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. On race day, what is your role? I know I'm sure you have reps that go up and down pit road, kind of monitor things, but where are you kind of stationed during the race?
So we have a timing stand. Our Firestone timing stand is in the middle of the pit lane, and we have Firestone engineers and technician. We have one person with every two cars, so they're actually getting all the data, measuring the temperature of the tires after they come out of the car, looking at the pressures, looking at everything, and getting that information back to me. And then from there, my team can respond to see if there's anything that we can help the teams to make the cars faster or anything like that.
Today there is the potential, we were talking with Sebastian Bourdais, and he said, you know, it could be spotty today with the showers. Do you help the teams decide, say, all right, the track is dry enough, let's go to the reds, or let's go back to the dry compounds? Do you dictate that to the teams, or do you kind of trade information back and forth to make that decision when to take the rain tires off?
So the teams have a really good sense of that, and there's no better judge on when to switch to dry tires or when to switch to rain tires than the driver in the car, the person that's actually holding onto the steering wheel. They've got a really good sense of when it's happening. I think a lot of it is looking at the weather forecasts. We use dark sky a lot. There's a lot of good weather forecasts to where you can see, is it going to rain again, when it's going to rain. These teams have a lot of time invested into weather prediction.
And road courses obviously are a bigger challenge with the weather. You're not at Gateway, ovals are a contained space, whereas here at Watkins Glen, it could be bone dry here on pit road, and then over in the boot, it could be pouring.
Yeah, it's such a large racetrack and a large real estate area that you can actually have that. Places like Indianapolis, we can see that too, where at pit lane, it's completely dry, but somebody announces in and says, oh, over in turn two, it's raining. And you have no indication that it's going to hit you until maybe 3 or 4 minutes later.
Of course, after today, one race left. You mentioned Sonoma, where you hopefully probably won't need the rain tires, but you take them anyway. What is your role during the off season? How does the calendar work? Once the last race in the book, is it just right into 2018 preparation, or how does that schedule work out?
So we're actually already preparing for next year. We're already looking at street course constructions. We're already looking at things that we can do for Indianapolis and other events. So as soon as the checkered flag drops on that last race of the year, we're full on looking at what 2018 will bring. Part of the things that we're doing here at the track this weekend and every weekend we talk to the drivers and we get their feedback about the tires. Can you tell me what you thought about the primary tires? Can you tell me what you thought about the alternate compounds? You get those answers back and you can design the best tire for these cars. An interesting thing, you can design the absolute fastest tire for the circuit. And if it's not what the drivers want are wanting to drive, then it's not the best tire. So that's one of the things that we look at, the feedback we get.
Yeah, that's the great thing. You got to balance is not only speed, but just durability. You want a tire that can run a long run. And that's probably the biggest thing you have to balance every week.
Yeah, that and what the other thing is the feeling of the car. So I can design a tire that's very fast. My team can design a tire that's very fast. But if it doesn't give the driver confidence in the car, or if they don't like how it corners, then we can always do things to improve that.
And when you say design a tire, is it tread? Is it different, whatever the rubber is made out of? What is, when you say design a tire, what goes into that?
So first of all, there's a lot of history. We've got a lot of the tradition of the excellence of Firestone that goes into it, but you also have the tread compounds, you have the constructions. So we design all these tires and make them in Akron, Ohio, and we bring them over here. Our race tire engineers are working hand in hand with the passenger tire engineers that would design the tires that you would put on your Chevy Cruze.
Yeah, that was my last question here. I know you got to get back to your race day prep here, but the stuff you learn here at the racetrack does go into Firehawks and anything that you can find on a street out there on the folks at home today.
Yeah, that's right. Not all of the people at home, they're not going to drive 238 miles per hour, hopefully, but we're going to design some of those things in, some of the polymers we use, some of the testing methods we use. That technology is going to transfer over.
What would you say is the best part about getting to come to the races every week with the IndyCar Series? What's the best part about doing this job?
So I think my favorite thing is when you get a driver that comes out of the car and says, hey, those Firestone tires were excellent today. That makes me feel good. That makes my team feel good when you get that great feedback. I love traveling, so the traveling is great, but really just seeing the performance of the tires is what does it for me.
Kara Adams, Chief Engineer for Firestone Racing, thanks so much for the time here in Race Morning, and I'll let you get back to what seems like some bevy of activity out there as your folks get ready for race day here at Watkins Glen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dave.
All right. We're inside the Firestone Hall. Mike, we're going to take a break. We're going to try and dodge the raindrops and head back over to the media center. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back live with more from Watkins Glen here on WGR.
Hi, this is Dylan Hart Jr., driver of the Nationwide Exalta Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just past 11:15 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan scurrying my way back inside the media center and inside the radio room here at the media center at Watkins Glen. As it's fun doing this, running around here in the rain and in the 90 degree humidity. I'm soaking wet in more ways than one. Apologize as we go off a little off format here this morning. As here at Watkins Glen for today's IndyCar race, as the Indy Lights race is on the speedway, and it was pretty cool being inside that the Firestone hauler. Sorry about that. We were in the back one of the Firestone haulers, and they had all these monitors. One had the live feed of the race, and then another was timing and scoring, and then they had also a kind of a track map screen, and it had all of the where the cars were on the racetrack, kind of almost like a video game, with all the cars represented by little dots going around the track at the Glen. So again, just kind of added bonus for me here. Obviously, you can't see that on the radio, but a fun little bonus of just being able to take that in as part of the fun today here, doing all these doing this live show from the racetrack. Of course, coming up tonight, busy race day, and the folks at NBCSN have been busy today. They had the Formula One broadcast. They'll have the TV coverage of today's IndyCar race, and they've got the nightcap, of course, at Darlington with the Southern 500, the next to last race of the regular season, and Kevin Harvick on the pole for today's race alongside Martin Truex Jr. In row number two, it'll be Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, all Kyle Rowe in row two, then Jamie McMurray and Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, your top 10 starters for today's race at Darlington. And then other notable names in the field, Matt Kenseth rolls off 11th, Ryan Blaney 12th, Clint Bowyer starts 16th today, Jimmy Johnson 18th, Daniel Suarez 19th, Chase Elliott back in 20th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 22nd in his, of course, final Southern 500 start, Casey Kane in 23rd, and that's kind of it for bigger names in the starting lineup for today's race. And as we said at the start of the show, the next last race of the regular season, and some of those guys that need to lock up their spot in the playoffs with a win, they're all starting near the front of the field. like Jamie McMurray, Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth. They're all in the top 11. Bowyer back there in 16th. So these guys obviously want to get a win to kind of shore up their spot in the postseason. Of course, you know, McMurray, Kenseth, you know, they could probably make their, and Chase Elliott too, can make their way in on points. But if somebody else were to win, and we've talked about this before on the program, but if one of those drivers that are outside of the, you know, kind of the, way deeper in the pointings and they win, that shortens up how many guys get in on points, and that could make for some scrambling next weekend at Richmond if that were to happen, as McMurray, Elliott, and Kenseth, they're all tightly grouped together, and they are just, you know, they can get in on points as is. So either they want to win or just have someone that's already won here in 2017. That way they can still get in on points. But again, you have a wild card like a Logano or someone like, you know, Eric Almirola, Daniel Suarez wins, Eric Jones. That could really make for some tight racing next weekend at Richmond. The other fun part, of course, with the Southern 500, another throwback weekend. We talked about this a little bit last week on the show, but all the different throwback paint schemes. You know, Harvick starting the poll today has got a cool Busch Beer paint scheme, kind of throwing back to one of the ones Cale Yarborough used to race. Love Ryan Blaney's Wood Brothers Ford Motorcraft car today. Throwing back to a paint scheme that Kyle Petty drove for the Wood Brothers back in the 1980s. In fact, I loved it so much, they had a really cool retro kind of ringer t-shirt and hat deal, and I bought that through the Wood Brothers website, and a nice little package came with a hero card too, but I had to go grab one of those shirts. I thought it was a real neat look. And of course, Ryan Blaney is a big fan of all things retro, as he's gone fully committed to the role today. He's got the mullet, he's got the mustache, and you can always find him wearing some kind of old school racing t-shirt, it seems like. So that fits in with everything that he loves quite well. And he's going to be rolling off from the 12th starting spot today. But I had to get one of those Wood Brothers t-shirts. I thought it was real neat. And a good deal that came with the New Era hat, the official New Era hat for his throwback paint scheme too. Thought it was real neat. And, of course, the folks from New Era, well represented, not only with NASCAR, but here at Watkins Glen as well, too, with the IndyCar folks. They've got their brand ambassadors like Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe. They had a event for them on Friday, and then James actually even did an appearance for the folks at Labatt USA, another Buffalo tie-in, this weekend as well, too. I thought that was interesting that he did an appearance on behalf of Labatt USA with his kind of ties to the beer world. If James Hinchcliffe has a beer named after him, brewery in the Indianapolis area has a beer named after James Hinchcliffe, so I thought that was fun that the folks from Labatt USA were able to do an appearance with James here in the Watkins Glen area this weekend. Some interesting news this weekend out of the NASCAR garage concerning race car numbers. We've had a lot of silly season with, you know, guys moving around from team to team for next season, and the Hendrick Motorsports recently shoring up their lineup for 2018 with Dale Jr.'s retirement. Alex Bowman going to drive that ride next year, and of course William Byron's going to take the seat that Casey Kane is leaving after this year, after they cut his contract a year short. We don't know what Casey's plans are for 2018, but the folks from Hendrick announcing some number changes to go along with the car changes, and I kind of an interesting swap in numbers. While Jimmy Johnson, of course, is still going to be the 48, Alex Bowman is going to be the 88 next year when he takes over for Dale Jr. William Byron, who of course has been running the number 9 in the truck and Xfinity series, and has been associated with that number in his NASCAR career, he is actually going to go be number 24 next season, which of course Jeff Gordon made famous, and then Chase has been driving for the last 2 years, and Chase is actually going to take Byron's number, and actually more importantly his dad's number, Bill Elliott. He's going to drive the number 9 in 2018 for Hendrick Motorsports. Now it's not really a team change. Chase is going to keep his team that is the 24 team this year. They're just going to put new numbers on the car for next year, so he'll still have the same group for next season, and then William Byron will be inheriting Keith Rodden and what is the 5 team this year, but they'll be car number 24 next year. So that was kind of a little bit of a surprise announcement, I guess, this week. Very cool that Chase gets to drive the number 9. Of course, he raced that in late models when he was cutting his teeth in honor of his father, of course, but had to make the switch once he got into the Cup Series when he took over for Jeff Gordon. And then Byron, this is a big thing they're bestowing on William, kind of almost anointing him here by putting this 24 on him. For what he's accomplished quickly in the truck and Xfinity series, it's pretty amazing that they're going to put the 24 on him. Not that Chase didn't deserve it when he got it 2 years ago, but just still getting to be associated with that number in NASCAR, that's a huge honor for William Byron. I am disappointed, though, in one thing with that Hendrick announcement, and that is I thought they should have ditched the 88, not, you know, for Alex Bowman and stuck with, you know, either kept the 5, which is now going away, or the 25, which was another number the Hendrick teams have used for a number of years. I mean, especially the 5. I was almost shocked to see that Hendrick will not have a number 5 car in the Cup Series next year. That is the number Rick Hendrick drove, or not, his team has used since the beginning, going back to the old All-Star Racing days with Jeff Bodine and Greg Sachs. I mean, they've always run the number 5 car. Ricky Rudd drove it, won a championship with Terry Labonte. Kyle Busch, when he raced for them, drove the 5. Now Casey Kane. I was shocked that they're actually not going to use the 5 next season in the Cup Series. And then the 25, which also has been associated with Hendrick, with Tim Richmond and Kenny Schrader, Joe Nemechek, Brian Vickers, Jerry Nadeau even. You know, they've gotten away from using that when Dale came in and decided to be the 88 car. You know, they got away from using the 25. They did bring it back when Chase Elliott drove it before he took over for Jeff Gordon. You know, he made it those few starts before his full rookie season. He drove a couple races in a 25 car for Hendrick Motorsport, but since then Hendrick has not used the number 25. So both of those numbers, iconic numbers for Hendrick Motorsports, are not going to be part of their teams next season. And again, especially the 5, because they've used that number for so long that they're, you know, it's kind of weird, and you could say this for sports of almost every sport, is you see the single digit numbers used less and less. And part of that is, you know, those numbers being retired. You know, you look at the Sabres with the 2 for Tim Horton, the 7 for Rick Martin are retired. And, you know, look at some of the other hockey teams like Montreal and Toronto. They have so many retired numbers. So you see less and less athletes with those single digit numbers because they are retired, or just you see a lot more of kind of numbers that you don't see. You know, you see a lot more hockey players in the 70 with numbers in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And now you're seeing a different crop of numbers in NASCAR. You won't see a 5 car next year, but you will see the 9 car back in the Cup Series, which is kind of cool. But I just found it surprising they got away from the 5, and I thought maybe they could do away with the 88, since that was just a special number that they picked up for Dale Jr., that maybe they would just let that go with Dale retiring and let Alex have the 5 or the 25. So just some interesting announcement this week from Hendrick Motorsports, and one of those funny things tied into the business of the sport with sponsors and teams and numbers. I guess that's just one of the fascinating things with NASCAR and racing in general, with numbers and sponsors and everything, and stuff that you kind of overthink maybe a little bit in the sport, but still fun to talk about. When we get back here on Fast Track, we're live here still from Watkins Glen. But since this is the last two segments of the season, there's still a lot of great racing locally in Western New York and Southern Ontario, and we want to talk a little bit about it. So we're going to catch up with Joe Skodnicki from the Race of Champions Modified Series and highlight some of the big season-ending events here in local racing. So you hit them up while these last few weeks of the season here in Western New York. We'll do that when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Matt Kenseth, driver of the DeWalt Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Matt Kenseth could use a win tonight at Darlington to shore up his spot in the postseason, and maybe someday we'll find out what he's going to do next year, as he still doesn't have a ride for 2018. It's 11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan, WGR's Fast Track, live from Watkins Glen International for today's Verizon IndyCar Series race. Alexander Rossi on the pole for today's race, which will likely be run under wet conditions, as things... we're luckily now inside the nice dry media center here at Watkins Glen, but it was raining pretty good when we ducked in from out of the rain here after making a spin through the garage area, talking to some folks, Charlie Kimball, Sebastian Bourdais, Kara Adams from Firestone, lots of great people to talk to. Thank you for playing along with us this morning. I had to take a couple extra breaks there just so I could get to where I needed to be for all these pre-scheduled interviews. But thanks for listening this morning as we close out the season. it's interesting for us here in Western New York. You, of course, have the race at Watkins Glen today for the IndyCar Series, but also not far from here up at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. You know, you've got the Truck Series up there for their what has also become their Labor Day tradition, running up at Mosport, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park up in Bowmanville, Ontario. And Austin Cedric winning the pole for that race today at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Justin Haley will start second. Kaz Grala, Parker Kligerman, Christopher Bell, Noah Gragson, John Hunter Nemechek, Matt Crafton, Ben Rose, Johnny Sauter. Top 10 starters for that race today. That's at 2:30. Alex Tagliani's in the race today. He starts 12th. Great Canadian driver. He's got some experience in the IndyCar Series, of course. DJ Kennington, another great Canadian racer, starts 17th. One interesting name not in the field from Canada, of course, Stuart Friesen. They've chosen to not race at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park this weekend as they continue to dial in their program. They've also made some other changes behind the scenes, parting ways with Tommy Baldwin and also firming up their partnership with Gallagher Motorsports as well, too, for next season. But I be curious if any race fans out there in Western New York, if you maybe had to decide between going to the truck race today or going to the IndyCar Series race, which one you chose. If you were thinking about that or maybe you made that decision, feel free to send us a tweet at FastTrack550 if you chose IndyCar over trucks or vice versa, or maybe you chose neither because you looked at the forecast for today. Let's go to the AT&T hotline, though, and bring in from the Race of Champions Modified Series as they get ready to start some busy weeks here during the month of September. Joe Scott Nicky joins us once again. Joe, good morning.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? Hope you're staying dry.
Yeah, we're luckily dry now here inside the media center, and hopefully it stays nice and dry after today here in Western New York, as we've got some, and northwestern Pennsylvania, I should say, because you've got some big races coming up with the Race of Champions Modified Series, including this Thursday night down at the State Line Speedway for the Dirt Sportsman Series, but then your Pavement Modified Series has its two biggest events of the year coming up the last two weekends in September with the U.S. Open at Lancaster, and then, of course, Presque Isle Downs Casino Race of Champions weekend at Lake Erie Speedway.
Yeah, we sure do. It's a busy busy month for us. Obviously, you mentioned State Line on Thursday. Great event for some local and regional racers. And then we actually start off our Sportsman Series 2 on asphalt on the 15th at Delaware Speedway in London, Ontario, near London, Ontario. And then, you know, obviously the tradition of the U.S. Open and then the finale at Lake Erie, which should be a great event.
Yeah, a new location for the Race of Champions weekend. It had been, you know, going back to the mid-90s when Alex Friesen and others brought it to the Oswego Speedway and kind of saved the Race of Champions event after it was starting to run out of places. It had been at Flemington for a few years but was in need of a new home, and they picked it up and took it to Oswego where it ran for 20 years. But it seemed like the time is right to bring it to a new venue, and a lot of folks are really excited about what they're going to get at Lake Erie later this month.
Yeah, you know, Oswego was a great home for the event. It just with Oswego's schedule and all the things that they're trying to do, it became wedged in between a few things that where it just didn't make sense. So we went out and looked around, and the city of Erie and the Erie Sports Commission made us a tremendous offer and opportunity, along with Lake Erie, which is a $15 million ultra modern facility that would rival some of the national series short tracks that are out there. So it brings it back to a stage that truly, you know, everybody will feel like they're special. And that's what the Race of Champions is supposed to be about. That weekend is supposed to be special. You know, we've moved it back to conclude the season. It's been moved around in recent years and tried on different dates, but it really needs to be the finale and crown the series champion, crown the event champion for the 67th time. And, you know, we just hope that everyone comes out and has a great weekend at Erie.
And obviously a lot of folks are excited about it because of how competitive the place is with the kind of they have that progressive banking there at Lake Erie, 3/8 mile oval. And we've seen it last season with the race Will Thomas won, and a little bit different race this year that when Matt Hirschman won it. But still the propensity for side by side racing, maybe compared to Oswego, you're going to see a lot more of it at Lake Erie. And it makes for some great racing.
Yeah, the track itself is conducive to giving everyone an opportunity to work their way to the front. And what I'm saying there is it's a really raceable place, and guys can search around and find the line that they're looking for and the grip they're looking for. I remember the Will Thomas race in 2016, and you know, Before halfway, he was mired back midway in the pack, and he found a line on the bottom, and you know, within 30 laps, he was knocking on the door of the leader, and then obviously won the race. And you know, this year, Matt Hirschman and Tommy Catalano and George Scora had an epic battle until things got sorted out, and I don't see it being any different when we get there at the end of September.
And it is a jam-packed weekend. It starts Thursday with practice and a big party to kick off the weekend with some live music. And then Friday, you've got the Sportsman Series in action. And then Saturday, of course, the Modified 250. And you've got a lot of other great division lumped in there, too. The Race of Champions late models, super stocks. You're going to have the street stocks from Lancaster. There's going to be tons of great racing throughout the weekend with the support divisions as well.
Yeah, we're trying to give everybody you know, that festival feeling and you know, bring it back to a grassroots celebration of what we do week in and week out with the weekly short tracks, and then obviously close it out with that big the big modified race. But you know, after we did Oswego last year, a lot of folks approached us and talked about different things, and We're giving them the opportunity to help make it happen, and that's why we've kind of changed up the divisions a little and given some folks some opportunities. And you know, we're gonna have a big four cylinder race that the Pennsylvania State Troopers have come on board to help us out with, and that's gonna be kind of neat for those guys. And Lancaster Street Stocks put on a whale of a show there in June, and it's a traditional late model track, so that's pretty cool. And you know, the Sportsmen and the Super Stock divisions, there doesn't need to be much said about them. It's just exciting racing, and it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Of course, you'll have all the familiar drivers that follow the ROC series there. Patrick Emmerling looking to defend his series championship. Chuck Hossfeld, who's a staple of Western New York Modified Racing. Tommy Catalano, George Scora, Mike Leedy, of course, too, the great young talent on the series. But is there going to be some other names looking that we might look forward to being in the field there at Lake Erie later this month?
Yeah, I think so. You know, back in June, Zane Ziner and a couple others came out and tested the waters, you know, with the intention of racing the 250. I've talked a couple times to Will Thomas. I know he sold his car, but from what I understand, he will be able to drive it in the 250. I would look for Bobby Holmes to come back there. Johnny Kay is who's a New England runner with the MRS is cast his intentions to run it, and he's actually coming all the way from South Florida. So yeah, you know, Andy Zeus is a guaranteed starter, so I think you're going to see a variety of competitors, as well as the stars that the series has really done a great job building through the last 2 years.
Last thing before we let you go, Joe, we mentioned off the top the race at State Line on Thursday night, just $10 for general admission. What time does the show get started there Thursday night with the 602 Great Sportsman? I think we've lost Joe. Mike, am I still on the air? Okay, I'm still here, but I just want to make sure I didn't lose my connection, but apparently we've lost our connection with Joe. but we'll wrap that up there. I apologize for the technical delay, but it's just I think it starts 7:30 Thursday night there at the State Line Speedway in near Jamestown. They've got a big weekend, not only Thursday, but they've got big shows Friday and Saturday too. Big weekend of racing there at the State Line Speedway. First of the many big end of year multi-day events. Almost every track now seems to have one of these. You've got State Line show coming up this weekend. You've also got the Sportsman Super Dirt Car Series swinging through the region this coming weekend with Ransomville Friday, Merrittville on Saturday, and Humberstone on Sunday. That's next weekend. You go into the following weekend, you've got King of the Hill at Ransomville Friday and Saturday with big races for their Sportsman Division, 100 Lapper for the Street Stocks. Genesee Speedway now has got a big race weekend for that weekend too, the weekend of the 16th and the 17th. They're running Saturday and Sunday with big monies for the late models and their Street Stocks. And then the following weekend is U.S. Open weekend at Lancaster, which is the biggest racing party in Western New York with practice on Friday. Then Saturday you've got the Sportsman 75 Lapper. That's also part of the Race of Champions Sportsman Series now too. And then Sunday I think is a real cool kind of almost throwback style program because it's just three divisions, and it's three of the divisions that have been around the longest, and that's the modifieds, the late models, and the street stocks. It's a great a 3-day show there at Lancaster for the U.S. Open, and then of course close it out at Lake Erie Speedway with Presque Isle Downs Casino Race of Champions Weekend. You can get your tickets for Race of Champions Weekend at LakeErieSpeedway.com. Tickets are available now. Also, the camping, I believe, is also available at the on the Lake Erie website. Those are reserved spots, so if you plan on camping that weekend, you might want to get that locked up as well. We get back our final segment of the year. We will run through the local racing results. A few shows got rained out yesterday, but still some results to talk about, some champions to crown as well, too. And we'll come back with the final segment of the year of Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan here for my friends at Batavia Downs. And real quick, I just want to say thank you again to Ryan and all the folks at Batavia Downs Gaming for supporting Fast Track once again here in 2017. I think this is year three that they've been a sponsor of the program and doing these commercials for them. So I just want to say a big thank you to all the folks at Batavia Downs for being our sponsor once again here on Fast Track for this season. That being said, support those that support this program and be sure to stop out to Batavia Downs Gaming. See why they're the area's premier entertainment destination. Of course, they've got the awesome video gaming machines on the inside. They've got the harness track and the horse racing outside that you can watch and place wagers on. And of course, now you can even spend the night there at the brand new hotel they have there at Batavia Downs Gaming. Those video game machines, they've got hundreds of them, all your favorite titles and movie games and TV games. And they're putting new ones in all the time there at Batavia Downs. And of course, my favorite part about Batavia Downs, and this is the best time of year, is to head to 34 Rush, because that's Thurman Thomas's sports bar, and it's football season, so you know what that means. Lots of football on the weekends to watch, and you could probably catch every game there at Batavia Downs and all the HD TVs, both pro and college. They'll have all the games, and I'm sure they've got the big 15-foot projection screen for the big games on the weekends too. So catch all your favorite sports inside Batavia Downs and inside 34 Rush Thurman Thomas' sports bar. Batavia Downs is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m. You can't miss them. They're right off the thruway, exit 48 in Batavia. And for more information, be sure to check out their Facebook and Twitter for update on the latest promotions and find out why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination. And tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
The last one of the year, our final local racing run. It was our Friday night Lancaster Dragway, and it was Brian Hitchcock in top eight, his second win in a row. Billy Lieber in a dragster, not the bad banana, got the win in top ET. Keith Banus, his second straight win in mod ET. Lucas Salemi in bikes and sleds. Mason Fix in street. Aaron Astick got the win in the Buffalo Street Outlaws. So did Rachel Jewell. She got the win in the Buffalo Street Outlaws as well. Coming up this Friday night at Lancaster, they've got Alcohol Funny Cars. They've got their Pro Modified Shootout on Tuesday, September 12th. That's two big races for them as they get towards the end of their season. Lancaster Stock Cars continue this Saturday night with Season Championship Night, and then they have U.S. Open Weekend. Freedom Motorsports Park, Matt Williamson, after finishing up the track championship at Lernerville, had a Friday night free. He went down to Freedom and got his 14th win of the year overall between Lernerville, Merrittville, and Freedom. He got the win over Adam Hilton and Billy Van Pelt in the modifieds. Adam Hilton got the track championship. Kyle Inman getting the sportsman feature win. Brad Rouse finished second, but he did lock up the championship in the sportsman at Freedom. Dennis Cummings in the street stocks, mini stocks, went to Billy Weller. Freedom has a big show coming up on September. Well, actually, this Friday night, they've got the Patriot Sprints. And then September 16th, they've got a big show with the ULMS Super Late Models and their modifieds, as they're kind of picking up the baton for Little Valley Speedway. Little Valley canceled their event that weekend, so Freedom kind of picked up the reins to that show. And so they got two big shows to close out their season at Freedom Motorsports Park. Ransomville Speedway on Friday night. Eric Rudolph won the 50-lap modified feature, but Ryan Soucy locked up his third straight track championship in the modifieds. In the sportsman, Derek Borkenhagen led every lap and held off Chris Bjork to get the win. Matt Farnham locked up the track championship. Brandon Sherwood got the win in the street stocks. In the four bangers, Chris Leone got the win, and Cam Tuttle got his fifth win of the year in the novice sportsman. Genesee Speedway on Saturday night. Russ Prentice Memorial for the late models. Win went to Zach Carley. Dave Dubois locked up the track championship. Bryce Davis won the Terry Pangrazio Memorial Crate late model feature. J.J. Mazur locked up the track championship in that division. Ray Smith won the sportsman feature over Andrew Smith and Austin Soucy. Kyle Inman locked up the track championship. Mike Jackson in the street stocks. Dante Mancuso in the mini stocks. And Jessica Schleedy, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, got the win in the Bandit feature at Genesee Speedway. Holland Speedway, they got the George Decker Memorial in, and it sounded like it was an exciting finish as Scott Wiley got by George Scora the third on the final lap to get the win. It was Wiley, then Scora, Andy Jankowiak, Jimmy Zacharias, and Sam Filone in the top five. Tommy Catalano locked up the track championship. That gives him both titles at Spencer and Holland for 2017 in the sportsman cars. Jacob Gustafson got the Hornet feature win at Holland. Jake Wiley and the Chargers. Nick Welshens won the track championship. Kyle Hutchinson won the TQ Midget feature. Dave Wallaber won the track title. Bryce Norton in the Legends. And Madman Marty Hughes won another figure eight race there at the Holland Speedway as they wrap up their season. Well, they've got still Crash-O-Rama this weekend. But interesting what the future will look like there at Holland Speedway with the track up for sale, and who will be running it for next year there at the Holland Speedway, if the Bennett family will still be in charge, or if they will find a buyer during the off-season. Merrittville rained out last night, a rare rainout for the folks at Merrittville. That allowed Chad Brockman to lock up the modified track championship. Brad Rouse won the sportsman track championship. And Dave Bigley won the street stock champ, the Hoosier Stock Championship there at Merrittville. So he's got track titles already at Humberstone and Ashwiken. And tonight he'll be at the Humberstone Speedway. And if he can win the championship there, it'll be the second year in a row that Dave Bailey and that Brewster Baker paint scheme car will win three track championships in a row. He did three tracks in 1 year. He did it last year with Ashwika and Merrittville and Humberstone, and he could do it tonight at Humberstone as well, too. Of course, they call him six-pack because of the Brewster Baker paint scheme, and he'll have a six-pack of championships in 2 years over there in Southern Ontario. Humberstone is in action tonight. They've got the Trevor Wilkins Memorial for the Sportsman tonight, and then they've got the Sportsman Super Dirt Car Series next week. I had a blast last Sunday at Humberstone. Went, took the family, the wife and daughter, and we had a great time watching the Pete Costco Memorial for the Modifieds, and a great battle between Mike Bowman and Eric Rudolph and Matt Williamson, with Mike Bowman getting the win. He won both races, modified races, last weekend at Humberstone, so that was great to see the folks at Humberstone having another good year, and thanks to them for having us out last Sunday and getting a chance to just watch the races. Instead of having to work at the racetrack, it was fun just getting to watch it with my family there on Sunday night. So again, lots of great racing throughout the month of September, and you get into October. Wyoming County Speedway, they've got their big modified races coming up, including this Saturday, and they've got their big modified race the weekend of October 14th and 15th. Super Dirt Week is back at Oswego. That's also Columbus Day weekend. So really, although we're going off the air, plenty of local racing over the next month and a half, along with, of course, the playoffs starting in NASCAR. So Be sure to stay with us on social media throughout the offseason, Fast Track 550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. With the Bill schedule, I'm not sure if we're going to get one of those bye week or, you know, one of those free Sundays to do a show in the playoffs like sometimes we have the last couple of years. I think their bye week is week six, so maybe that weekend. But stay tuned. We'll have it on social media if we have any kind of postseason editions of Fast Track. I think their Monday night game isn't until later in the year, so I'll have to take a look. But stay tuned to our social media if we do have any postseason editions of the program. If not, hopefully we'll be back in February. But thank you so much for listening. This was our 11th season on the air, 10th anniversary of our first show and our 11th season on the air here on WGR. Thank you to Alan Davis for giving us this little morsel of airtime every Sunday. Thank you to Mike Jafari, who runs the board just about every week, and thanks for a great job here once again with these live shows from Walk on Glen. Appreciate all your efforts back behind the control board. And again, we'll talk to you hopefully next February. Also, be sure to follow us on social media today. We'll have live updates from the track, live reports, and some post-race information too on WGR550.com. So thank you so much. Have a great rest of the racing season and a great offseason, and hopefully we'll talk to you next year here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.